Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And isn't it nice to see some wet stuff, particularly you gardeners out there? If your lawn is anything like mine in Christchurch, it rejoiced when the rain started to fall. But I think we're going to have some more sun on the way as well, because obviously, with all the holiday makers coming our way, we want to have some nice weather as well. Anyway, I am Blair, and. It's so nice to be here. It's not my first time here, although it is my first time for a worship service. It's certainly my first time having the privilege of being invited to speak. I came for a Christian Concern event which Jenny had organized, and then subsequently I founded Hope FM, the Christian radio station, and so you better watch out, really, because I might pounce on one or two of you to be my guests. Anyway, I started my day today because somebody sent me a little YouTube clip, and it was an MP, and he was addressing the House of Commons. Although what was very odd about his address was the fact that nobody was there, apart from the Deputy Speaker. I don't think I've ever, where politicians are concerned, seen an empty House of Commons, but this was empty. This MP clearly loved God, and he knew his history. He knew that our country was founded on Christian traditions. He even knew that the House of Commons itself was once a church. And where the Speaker's box is, was where the lectern would have been. We can make the mistake when we look at the world of getting very down, very depressed. The news is not always good. Quite the opposite, in fact. But be careful, because there's a little word that our enemy loves to use, and he loves to see you putting it into practice. That word is fear. You see it on the screen. But our Bible reading today in 1 John 4 reminded us that perfect love, that is the love of Jesus on the cross for all of us, casts out fear. And yet fear seems to dominate. But it's not just that. Do you know that you're not very well liked? God loves you. That's why he died for all of us. But the devil and the demonic realm who were cast out of heaven with him hate you. That means that there is never a time in any of our lives whenever we are not a target. If you call yourself a Christian, there's a big target on your back. Now, the devil can't harm you in the sense that he can't take you out, unless, of course, God says, gives him permission. Because you know the story of Job, all that happened to him. But before all those things could happen to Job, the devil had to seek permission. And you don't need me to remind you of the story. No, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Night and day, he accuses all of us before the very throne of God. So we have to be sober and vigilant, because our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion, as it says in Peter. And he walks about the earth seeking who he might discourage or devour. And if he could take us all out, he would. I mean, I was in hospital. I had to phone Chris and Dan. I've got the marks here, you see, and here. Not quite the marks of Jesus, this is blood test marks. I was sound asleep on Thursday night, having been kept in for 24 hours at Bournemouth Hospital. And this little voice said to me, 2:15 in the morning, "Wake up! I'm taking you for an x-ray." Of course, I said, "Praise the Lord, I'm looking forward to that." But anyway, now I want you to have a very careful look at this little diagram here. So the one that looks like a face. Next one. Next one. There we are. Now look very carefully. What do you see? Anybody?
Downturned lips.
Sorry?
Downturned lips.
Downturned lips, yes. But there's a word written there that describes our enemy. Can you see it? I'll help you if you can't. Let's have the next slide. Now can you see? Look at the letters in red.
Liar.
Now that's what you have got to remember. If you don't remember anything that I say today, then remember this, that the one who targets you, the one with whom you have a battle, is a liar. And he has been from the beginning. Now, if you look at the verses in Revelation 12 on the next slide, anyway, you just read that. And you'll see it's basically saying that the evil one has been cast down. He was cast down, cast out of heaven, because he wanted to be like God. And of course, it wasn't just the devil. It was one third of the angelic host. But remember, the two thirds are still with us. Now, when we watched the Tear Fund video, we were reminded that the church, in some quarters, is a sleeping giant. I mean, to be honest with you, I've been in the church since I was a boy, Presbyterian church in Ireland. My experience of church has been very mixed. In terms of, I was in the Boys' Brigade. I have to deal with churches all the time because of the radio station. I try and reflect what God is doing in all of the churches. And because of that, I have an ear which is pretty close to the ground as far as the church is concerned. I have many church leaders as my friends. And just like watching the news, you might think, oh, this, things are terrible. But how many of you have read the Bible Society report and heard about what is being called the silent revival? All over the United Kingdom, people are packing into churches. And you know who they are. They're Generation Z, or Generation Z. Younger people, particularly between the ages of 18 and 25. Why is that happening? Well, doesn't the word say that he will pour out his spirit, I think it's in Joel, on all flesh, the young men, or the old men will dream dreams, the young men will see visions. Biblical prophecy is always before us for a revival. And I used to think, well, we should come back today. But supposing he did, where would your children be? Where would you be? Your grandchildren? See, in the Bible it says that he only delays because he wants more people to know about him, to be given the opportunity to respond to him. You see, this whole thing of fear and lying and all that sort of thing, God has placed into our hands. wonderful gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ralph here and Sylvia, who's not with us today, leads up the healing rooms. I think you're going to be speaking here soon, aren't you? But the healing rooms are dependent upon people like you and me having faith and having the courage to practice the gifts that he's given us. So I said to Ralph today, I've been in hospital. Now, when I said to him, will you pray for me? I knew he would. Not just once. He'll keep praying for me. And this is so important, you see. Some people think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit died along with the disciples, the early apostles. But let me ask you this question. Use your reason, your brain. Would you say that in the world in which we live, there is as much challenge and difficulty as there was in the days of the apostles? Or is there perhaps a little less? Or could there even be more? And then ask yourself this question, would it make any sense whatsoever for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be withdrawn? I am with you always to the close of the age. I will not leave you or forsake you. Not personally, not corporately. And I will build my church, and the gates of hell itself will not prevail. Now, you either believe Scripture or you don't. And you see, this is the subtlety that the evil one uses. I don't like talking to people about fear. I like to see congregations and individual people encouraged. If I went on the radio every Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, I'm not publicizing myself. I was on this morning, but pre-recorded, you know, because what I do on Wednesday is repeated on Sunday between 8 and 10. But imagine switching on your radio, 90.1 Hope FM, and or go on your internet because you're a wee bit out of our, you know, listening area. Jenny's been a very good guest, as is Ralph and some others. That's why I give you the warning that I might pick on some of you, you know. But supposing I switched it on and all you heard was, oh, it's a terrible world. If I was you, I wouldn't listen to me. Because if you're depressed, you're going to be even more depressed. And if I went to any churches, well, I'm due to come back again next week. But I don't know whether I'd get an invitation back if you all went out the door depressed. But you get where I'm coming from, don't you? No. How can you, if you're not feeling victorious, if you're not, yes, we all say, oh, I'm not a very good Christian. Do you know anybody who is? We're all sinful people. We need Jesus as our lifeblood. We need the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through our veins, every part of us. Again this morning, I listened to, you know, those terrible floods that took place in Texas, and there were many young people, young children that lost their lives. But I watched four people who had what they call a near-death experience. And they'd produced this video because they wanted people to know that actually, if children die, they go right into the presence of God. They go right to heaven. And these now adult people, some of them with very important jobs, were giving testimony how when they were children, they had gone to heaven. And they had experienced, they didn't want to come back. And they were doing the video because they wanted those parents who had lost their children to be comforted. The fact that Jesus has risen from the dead is all the comfort that you and I as individuals, or corporately as his church, need. We need each other to encourage each other to greater works of service. And you know, if you don't use the gifts that God has given you, they'll be taken away. And they'll be given to somebody else who will use them. You don't want that. Now, you don't have to be super Christian. You just have to be obedient. You just have to take your fears, kill them, and pray. Just like Jesus said to the disciples. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Well, I mean, if you were one of those disciples, they knew what wolves do to sheep. They eat them. Nobody's going to eat you. That doesn't mean to say that any one of us will have an easy life. We must all remember that he has, next slide, that he has triumphed over the cross. He has triumphed over all evil. Next slide. Because on the cross he made a public display of all the principalities and powers. He took that power away. Now again, this is quite confusing. Let me remind you, D-Day, my wife's birthday. Do you know the date? June the 6th. But you'll know that on D-Day, basically the war in Europe was won. It was a turning point in the war. But VE Day happened some time later. A victory has got to be appropriated. You've got to remind yourself that you're on the winning side. In fact, you're on the decisive side that has won. And you have to claim that victory for yourself and for the people around you, for the community. It's a challenge. But it's one that you can be confident that you're not alone in. That's why there is, in fact, a silent revival. Quite why it's silent, only God knows. But each of us have a part to play. You'll meet people today who need encouragement. You might be frightened at saying, do you think I could pray for you? Would that be all right? Do it. God loves it whenever you put your fear to one side and you put your trust in him. He loves it just like he loves you. And remember, it's him who is building his church. So remember that. And is there anything particular you'd like me to talk about next week? Just have a word in my ear before I go, and I'll do my best to try and bring you a bit more. I could tell you a little bit about my own journey with the Holy Spirit. That was a bit messy. I'm here I am preaching to you, and I thought I was a second-class Christian for years. I never got to the point, really, where I thought, the gifts of the Holy Spirit have gone. I just couldn't quite understand why some people seemed to operate, almost fly in the Spirit, and I didn't. But that's for another day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning. And I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Father God, that you haven't abandoned us to our own thoughts, nor have you abandoned us to the wiles of the devil. Thank you for your promise And Lord, may we see revival in our day, in our families, in our homes, in our places of work, Father, in our retirement. We pray that all of this would bring great honor to your name, and that you would build your church so that more and more people would recognize that the revival is not so silent, but revival is open to everyone. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.